Hello, friends, and good early morning here. We are continuing now with the Rays and the Initiations webinar commentary, number 68. In the last commentary, ending page 567, we saw something about the sequence of initiations with which the human being is confronted. These are before the shambolic initiations, beginning with initiation 6. And we noted that rays 7, 4, 5, and 7, 6, 5, 4, excuse me, were the first four initiations which confronted the individual, and then a leap to the most powerful ray, in one sense, the first ray, at the fifth initiation. So this ray is needed with the dynamic electrical energy which it possesses acting in a new and different sense if the four higher initiations are to become living objectives in the initiate's consciousness. And he tells us that it is for this reason that the fifth initiation is called the initiation of revelation. What is it that is revealed? Well, you know, among other things, something about the way of higher evolution, but here we are told the divine purpose is revealed to the initiate for the first time, the nature of the divine purpose. So so this initiation is called the revelation because for the first time the divine purpose is revealed, at least in part, to the initiate. Okay, so that's an important point. I was struck earlier by something I had read in another book where the meaning of the seven paths on the way of higher evolution was also revealed. And then I suppose the beginning of the process in which one would choose or study or learn about in greater detail one or other of the paths and find the one that was most appropriate to one's needs. There's only one right path to follow, we have been told. Okay. So now, due to this first ray, divine purpose comes into sight, we might say, comes into sight, although it cannot be the full revelation of purpose, as we have been taught. It is enough to give, I'm sure, an astonishing picture of what it is the planetary logos is really intending within the context of the solar system. So here this takes us on then to the next section. Well, it's not really a next section, but it is for us the way we've been dividing it. And this is the early morning of the 16th here. So in these five preliminary initiations, the true nature of the minor rays in their creative aspect and as expressions of the quality of the manifested world begins progressively to dawn upon the initiate. In terms of the creative aspect, maybe there are other aspects, but at least in terms of the creative aspect, it begins to dawn or be understood, and as expressions of the quality of the manifested world. So the quality of the manifested world is expressed particularly by these four more concrete rays of attribute. In the four higher initiations, he slowly, okay, well, this would be a mistake in the CD-ROM, he slowly arrives at a dim understanding of the purpose of creation. The purpose of creation. Okay, so that's what we're dealing with now, launching from the point of the fifth initiation with its first ray. In the four higher initiations, he slowly arrives at a dim understanding of the purpose of creation. As we've seen, you know, the planetary logos is a being, well, we can't say immeasurably, but vastly beyond the scope of the progressing master or Chohan. And so it's impossible for there to be anything but a dim understanding of the purpose of creation. The true purpose, however, and the nature of the will of the planetary logos will only be revealed in the next solar system, wherein the soul-infused personality of the planetary logos will demonstrate living purpose within the ring pass knot of the three lower cosmic planes. So it is in our next solar system. The next solar system is a purpose or first ray solar system. Why is that? Probably because the solar logos will have a first ray personality. Okay. And it seems the planetary logos of Earth would have had to take the fifth cosmic initiation along the line of planetary logoi. And at the very least, the fourth. Our planetary logos is the base of the spine center of the solar logos and has much monadic first ray, but whether that will be completely accomplished in this solar system or not remains to be seen, just as it remains to be seen whether the solar logos will take the fifth initiation in this particular solar system. It is a possibility, and if so, our planetary logos would have to also take along its own line a comparable fifth initiation in order to liberate that monadic power which is necessary at the base of the spine center, the center of will. So anyway, this is all in the distant future, and the next solar system will reveal the true nature of the planetary logos. Why? Again, our planetary logos will begin to function on its monadic ray. And the three lower cosmic planes, mental, astral, and etheric physical will be the scene of its demonstration of purpose, divine purpose. So, well, it's all very stretched out, isn't it, over a long, long period of time, and we have well, not only millions of years, but billions of years, and even if the duration of the of a solar system such as ours is correct, in the Brahmanic chronology, which HPB tells us is a correct presentation, then we're dealing with trillions of years, which are just a drop in the bucket, temporally speaking, compared to the duration of the cosmos, also in a subjective manner. Sometimes when the scientists of today talk about the duration of the solar system, I think, you know, they offer a type of figure which is much too short, but at the same time, they're not taking into consideration the subjective aspects of the solar system which brought it into precipitation, and then following its objective destruction will still offer much opportunity on subjective levels, as there is a return to source. All emanations do return to source, and I suppose we'd have to question quite deeply what is the source of our planetary logos. Maybe in one way it is our solar logos, but in another way, what is the source of the solar logos, and so forth. These are questions that we cannot answer, but the principle is clear that the emanations return to source following the pralaya of the objective form. Well, anyway, DK has presented to us some abstruse ideas as he speaks here. I just want to underline this. The true purpose and the nature of the will of the planetary logos will only be revealed in the next system. Well, the monadic ray will be demonstrating. The monadic ray of our planetary logos is the first, but since we are not yet a sacred planet, but in this solar system will become so, then the monadic ray is occultly non-effective at this time. Once we become a sacred planet, it becomes possible for the monadic ray to become occultly effective. Okay. But DK calls all this abstruse ideas. And with these abstruse ideas, we need not concern ourselves. Let us study the energy conditions wherein the initiate proceeds from one initiation to the other until he stands at the portal of revelation. This portal of revelation, we can call it the portal of the fifth initiation, which is the revelation. And now we know that that revelation is the revelation of divine purpose. Well, here is some work that is beginning with the first initiation, you know, the one which faces humanity, at least humanity in its upper brackets. It's called the birth of at Bethlehem, the house of bread, and it is ruled by the seventh ray, though other rays are involved, and it's ruled in some ways by the sign Leo, but not exclusively so. There's a lot of Capricorn in this initiation, and some Virgo and some Gemini as well, you know, these signs on the mutable cross. And since it's a transition from the ordinary living of the ordinary man in the human kingdom, there's an entering of the fifth kingdom, and Pisces would be that transitional sign, which is rounding out one sphere of experience and in a way making it possible to enter yet another sphere of experience. We noted that when we were changing from the mutable cross to the fixed cross, that Pisces was a sign which would be prominent in the horoscope for that type of transition. So let's see what Master DK says about this initiation. We'll stick to the book, you know. there's so many ancillary things that we could get into. But I think we'll save that for a time when we have a compilation which has all of these different references. Okay, so this is the energy of order or ceremonial magic. Order, organization, ceremonial magic. It's also called the ray of ritualistic decency, something like that. All things done in order. DK's assessment of the term ceremonial magic was not entirely positive. A little bit earlier in our reading, we discovered that he was not completely satisfied with that term, but it gives us the idea that with certain motions, observations, acts, at certain times, the precipitation of heaven to earth can occur. The higher energies can descend to earth when into the lower spheres, when we operate correctly, ritualistically, well, in a well-timed manner, and with the right sounds, gestures, etc., so forth. First of all, let us consider the type of energy which the seventh ray expresses and which lies in its potency and efficacy from the angle of the initiation. And as we study these initiations and their conditioning rays, we will divide our idea into three parts. So first, we're going to consider the type of energy, and then in general, there will be a three-part division in our study of these initiations and the rays conditioning them. So what are the three parts? Number one, the type of energy and its quality in relation to the processes of the particular initiation with which it is associated. It's not just the energy on its own and unrelated to the initiation. The energy studied must be related to the initiation. Okay, and then the second part, so the first part is the type of energy, and let's just kind of underline that and see if we can remember it. And then this energy has an effect upon humanity. So the effect of this energy upon humanity, regarding humanity as the world disciple, and what we know about true discipleship, the true disciple is always preparing for initiation. So a world disciple is in preparation for initiation. Its effect upon humanity and the stimulating nature of the energy as it expresses itself, the stimulating nature of the energy. Let's see, is that really different from the first that we are studying? Well, the type of energy is a generalization. Now, the stimulating energy has a couple of sub-notes. In the three aspects of the initiate's nature, mental, astral, and physical, and then B, through the soul-infused personality, the initiate in good standing, a phrase of deepest occult implication. So, two things can be stimulated, two factors will be stimulated. Three aspects of the initiate's personality. That's one. And also, And also, the soul infused personality. Okay. Soul infused personality will be stimulated. And, you know, in good standing, well, it so often means in various organizations that you've paid your dues, but we will have to assign a new meaning to paying your dues. You've paid your karmic debts, and you are upright as an agent of an aspect of the will, and you are standing within the good, and in general, I would say, within the will to good, and you do not deviate from that. So there are three factors that will always be, as we study this section of the book, the idea will be divided into three parts: the type of energy, its effect upon humanity, and its stimulating effect upon various aspects of the initiate's nature, both his vehicles and his integrated soul-infused mechanism. And so let's do it that way, the stimulating effect upon the integrated soul-infusion, personality. Okay. So, okay, let's see if we can get that. S-L-I-N, soul infusion. We have soul infusion, but not soul infused. So, soul infused, we'll do this way, as it will frequently be used, if I can only remember it. Soul infused personality. Soul infused. That'll do it. S-L-I-N-F, S-L-I-N-F-D. Okay. All right, going on. At this particular time in world history, seventh ray energy is of a growing potency because it is the new and incoming ray. Well, it has appeared various times, but it's new within the context of our modern world and the age into which we are entering, the processional age. It is the new and incoming ray, let us say, of the... Nope, I'm doing it again. New and incoming ray. I need my bracket. of the impending pre-sessional age. Okay. And it's superseding the sixth ray, which has for so long held sway. Now, I did mention that there is a sequence here, but it is not inviolate. There is a sequence, but it does not always occur in this way. In other words, the seventh ray does not always follow the sixth. The seventh ray does not always follow upon the sixth ray. When we speak of the ray, because, you know, the these ray energies are on a different type of cycle than the appearance of the zodiacal energies for the processional ages. One might think every time there's an age of Pisces, it's going to be the sixth ray accompaniment. But why should it not be the second ray? And every time it is a an age of Aquarius, it will be a seventh ray accompaniment. But why should it not be the fifth ray or some other ray? The cycles are too unknown to us and too intricate to for us to have any real idea of what's going on there. We'll have to wait, I think, until mastership before some of these things are revealed. When we speak of ray energy, we are in reality considering the quality and the will purpose of a certain great life, to whom we give the name the Lord of a Ray. This ray life is focused in Shambhala. Upon what plane, subplane, it's hard to say, you know, but we could make a speculation, but it's not important at this point. So we're considering the quality and will purpose, so the second and first aspects of a certain great life. You will find much about these ray lords in the earlier volumes of A Treatise on the Seven Rays. DK is revealing the nature of certain great beings. And there's, you know, very much upon it in Esoteric Psychology, Volume 1. And there the Ray Lords are really speaking to each other. All of this was the inspiration for the Ray Lords ritual, which I wrote, and using largely the words of DK as often as I could, but with additional music. So here's divine intention, will, purpose, or the determined projection of his mind creates a radiation, a stream of energy, which according to type and quality plays upon all forms of manifested life within our planetary ring past not. Well, this is in one way we can think of it. This is the origin of a ray. It's a great life. It's the expression of a great life, great life. His divine intention, will, purpose, or the determined projection of his mind creates a radiation or stream of energy. That's the ray, right? Which according to type and quality plays upon all forms of manifested life within our planetary ring past not for a certain cycle. This radiation is active for a certain cycle. These lords of the rays are the creating and sustaining energy which implement the will of the planetary logos. That's the combinations and permutations are suitable for the different phases of the enactment of the will through the divine plan. So while they're in expression, they sustain. As they come into expression and as they endure, they create according to the intention of the will of the planetary logos, and then they cycle out in the forms which they have created, will begin to disappear and no longer be vital, and will have to give way to some other kind of creation or configuration from a different incoming ray. But the transition time will be difficult, and this is what we are passing through right now, this kind of transition between the sixth ray and the forms it has created on the various planes and the new forms appropriate to various planes which the seventh ray is now creating. So they, the ray lords, okay, RLD, okay. I could wish the capitalization problem didn't bother me here, but okay. The Ray, sorry, Ray Lord, that's one. Okay, and then RLDS, we're going to call this Ray Lords. There's always got to be, well, it's so often a plural. Okay. So everything that we see around us, that which is being sustained, which is characteristic of our civilization, is the result of combinations of rays with a certain ray predominating, and various permutations of these combinations. Subrays are involved. All of this is timed out according to the nature of the Ray Lord and the will of the planetary logos, the different cycles or radiations or streams of energy, we can say all with different durations. Let me put that in there. Streams of energy, all with differing durations. You know, for instance, the duration of the first ray radiation is a period, let us say, if we're speaking in terms of years, of 1, 10, 100,000, 10,000, 100,000, million years, that kind of thing. The same for the seventh ray, only the number is 7, 7, 70, 700, 7,000, 70,000, so forth. But some of the others have different durations. The radiation stream of energy is of a different duration. For instance, the second ray duration, the cycles associated with the second ray are built upon the number 5. So 5, 50, 500, 5,000, 50,000, 500,000, 5 million, that kind of thing. The second ray energy is associated with taking the number 5 and continually multiplying it by 10. Okay, so they, these Ray Lords, cooperate with him, the planetary logos, in defining the expression of his supreme purpose. So the planetary logos, and this will be done also for the solar logos. Also be done for the solar logos. As a matter of fact, when you look at the various planets, one could ask whether the various planets are solar systemic. Okay. Well, we should have that SSC. Okay. Solar systemic Ray Lords. At least that's something that is worth pursuing, because they are the planetary logoi or kumaras are characterized by certain rays, and they have some similarity as seven spirits before the throne to the Ray Lords, which are also a way of thinking about seven spirits before the throne of their particular deity. The planetary logoi, the sacred ones, are seven spirits before the throne of the solar logos, but when we deal with the planetary logos, we look at the Ray Lords as seven spirits, seven lesser spirits before the throne. So their radiating emanations are cyclically objectified and are cyclically withdrawn. Okay. So knowing the cycles will help us determine the phase of manifestation, the phase of civilization. Knowing the cycles, okay, will help us determine the duration of the precipitation of the streams of ray energy. So they are objectified. Interesting, you know, that these emanations, what did DK call them up here? Let's see. Maybe, was that so long ago? Okay, I don't think so. No, I think I've passed it. Yeah, I have. Well, streams, you know, streams of energy, he has called them. Right. Creates a radiation, a stream of energy. This is what he has called them. And these will precipitate into what we call forms, okay, or recognizable forms. There are many types of forms that we might not consider to be forms, you know, because we're used to quite a concrete manifestation when we discuss what is a form, but there are many types of ethereal forms that simply might look to us as if they were a swirl of moving energies rather than a concrete form. So as these Raylords radiate forth into the three worlds, the impacting energies produce, okay, change, disturbances, progress, and unfoldment. Okay. This is what happens. And, you know, when we look for the cause of pretty drastic changes around us at certain periods in a processional age, it will be due to the incoming or outgoing of ray energies, maybe sub-ray energies, or maybe the larger ray energy. They create the needed new forms and vitalize and qualify that through which the immediate divine intention is expressing itself. Okay, let's call it the immediate divine intention is an aspect of the divine plan. And they intensify both the quality and receptivity of consciousness. This sounds more like the incoming cycle rather than outgoing. Okay, well, we human beings, we also have an incoming cycle, and we grow in our powers. Our quality is intensified. The receptivity of our consciousness is intensified. We become more living with the incoming of a particular ray energy. That does not mean that the outgoing does not have its particular benefits. So that is the process of incoming, of going forth and vitalizing and informing and becoming more and more present. So let's just say that on this incoming cycle, the ray energy is more and more present, is increasingly present. At other times, DK tells us, during the process of being withdrawn to their own place, you know, where is that really? But, you know, probably still on the cosmic physical plane and on the highest or logoic levels. But what subplane? That's the question. They cause the fading out or the dying of form aspects or institutions and the organizing organisms. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So these aspects, what has been created in terms of form, are no longer sustained. Let's see. Let's look at this. All these are no longer sustained, and they therefore produce cycles of destruction and of cessation and make room for those new forms and life expressions which an incoming ray will produce. Well, we're living through that now, aren't we? We are living through this. Now, I think as of 1625, the sixth ray began to fade away, and the seventh ray is near the death of Francis Bacon. You know, 1616, he is said to have died in those reports which think that he did die. You know, there are other things stated about his ongoing livingness and his feigned death. But anyway, that's another subject. So anyway, room has to be made because we cannot crowd the field of energy and the field of consciousness with all the rays as if they were simultaneously emphasized. Maybe at the final day be with us, something like that happens and leads to the appropriate pralaya for the level of entity we're speaking of. It has been the gradual withdrawal of the sixth ray of idealism and of one-pointed devotion, which has been responsible for the ferment, crystallization, destruction, death, and cleavages of the past century. Well, things are breaking down, and people seek to hold on to particular forms and will fight to perpetuate those forms and will attempt to impose those old organizing, the result of the organizing organisms on the new and incoming forms, leaving no room for them to be in coming. You know, this is what we call the reactionary response. Old things are passing away as the Lord of the sixth ray withdraws his attention. And that's a hint to human beings too, because when we withdraw our attention, those forms and relationships which we had nurtured with our attention, the feeding energy of attention, begin to fall apart. So, you know, we keep our eye on what we want to sustain, otherwise it falls apart. And that's something we all can learn, so let's just put it down. We must keep our eye on that which is to be sustained, or it will fall apart. So the Ray Lord withdraws his attention, and therefore his energy, because let's just say that attention feeds with energy. His radiation is today no longer centered or focused in the life of the three worlds. That's interesting, because there are still many forms and relationships produced by him. There are still many forms and relationships produced by the sixth Ray Lord within the lower three worlds. Simultaneously, the energy and radiation of the Lord of the seventh Ray are becoming steadily more powerful in the three worlds. This will, of course, produce a clash. You know, there is a clash between these two rays, particularly. Somewhere, you know, is it in the Destiny of the Nations? DK talks about what monadic types will get along with the incoming seventh ray. And it is only the sixth ray monadic types, and I suppose we could add the sixth ray souls, who specifically will not get along well, will clash with the presence of the great seventh ray. Other ray types can find their accommodation with this Ray Lord, but so when we move from six to seven, it's like the crisis of moving from the astral plane into the etheric physical plane. The fire sheath and the ancient fires arise, and there is crisis and the possibility of failure, at least in the magical process. Okay, so then, the incoming of a ray always produces an intensified period of initiatory activity. Well, let's put it like this. new processes, forms, and relationships are, quote, initiated. And interestingly enough, when the seventh ray comes in, when the seventh ray enters a period of hierarchical initiation begins. Now, you know, this is probably very much intensified at this particular entry of the seventh ray. The major effect, as far as humanity is concerned, is to make possible the presentation. This is what's going on now, because it may not always have been the case. This is maybe unique, although there probably have been other times when presentation of possible initiates did occur, but this is on a very large scale. The major effect, as far as humanity is concerned, is to make possible the presentation of thousands of aspirants and applicants for the first initiation. So we really have to look at the way, you know, it's a question. This is a question of how the seventh ray is facilitating the taking of the first initiation. And the seventh ray, of course, is also strongly associated with the first initiation, because the sacral center ruled by Uranus and the seventh ray is activated at that time, and also the throat center, which has a period of development in which the seventh ray is the ruler. So men on a large scale and in mass formation can today pass through the experience of the birth initiation. This is very promising, because once that type of consciousness is predominant, the lower consciousness will no longer hold sway. So we must do all we can to promote the idea that the coming of the Christ and the hierarchy and the ingress, we might call it, of the seventh ray, now very strong, it began hundreds of years ago, will facilitate this entry into the fifth kingdom of nature and the taking of the first initiation. excuse me. Thousands of human beings can experience the birth of the Christ within themselves and can realize that the Christ life, the Christ nature, and the Christ consciousness are theirs. This is the, you know, maybe a higher excuse me, turn of the spiral of the born again experience. You know, the quote, born again experience is a reflection of this first initiation, and very much on the emotional level. I would say, you know, some degree of established mentality must be present before the candidate can take the first initiation. So thousands of human beings can experience the birth of the Christ within themselves. Imagine what a world it can be. How many thousands, maybe elsewhere, he seems to talk about it in terms of a rather large number. They can experience the birth of the Christ within themselves and can realize that the Christ life, the Christ nature, it's a new aspect of consciousness to most people who are wrapped up in the third aspect of divinity, the personality aspect. The Christ consciousness are theirs, not just something you hear about, you theorize about, but something that is in your heart, something that is affecting your consciousness all the time. And it's a real lift into a new phase. This new birth initiation of the human family will take place in Bethlehem, symbolically understood, for Bethlehem is the house of bread, signifying physical plain experience. So there is the symbolism. Okay, so this gives us the symbolism of Bethlehem. And, some degree of sharing is also required. We're told, that when the sharing occurs, when the peace occurs, up to a certain point, and when the house cleaning occurs, then it is that Christ can return. And when he returns, it will be a signal that humanity has actually taken the first initiation. So we can relate sharing, peace, and the house cleaning to taking the first initiation. That's, I think, interesting. So we can relate. I wonder about RT for relate. Let's see if we have used it. No, we haven't. So we can relate sharing, peace, and cleaning to the first initiation process for the individual and also for humanity. These great initiations, and we are talking now about the so-called great monastic initiations. There are other and lesser and previous, and also following the first. These great initiations implemented by the ray energies must be registered in the physical brain and recorded by the waking consciousness of the initiate. And this must be the case in this amazing period wherein, for the first time since humanity appeared on earth, there can be take place a mass initiation. What a great statement here, and something that tells us the characteristics of our time. So I will repeat that. These great initiations implemented by the ray energies, and I suppose, facilitated by the ASTRL, and that we need ASTRL, astrological, facilitated by the astrological energies, must be registered in the physical brain and recorded by the waking consciousness of the initiate, or at least the remnant of what has happened on the causal level is recorded, and this must be the case in this amazing period. So mass initiation is coming, and because of this mass initiation, it will be possible the time space schedule of the planetary logos can be expressed and will not fall behind. Okay. The experience need not be expressed in occult terms, and in the majority of cases will not be. So we are speaking about the inner awakening of the first initiation. Many who take it, the majority, are not occultists or students of the occult or esotericism. The individual initiate who takes this initiation is aware of great changes in his attitude to himself, to his fellow men, to circumstances, and to his interpretation of life events. So this is the outer recognition. This is the brain consciousness recognition recognition of the one who takes the first degree. Okay, let's see. First degree, FDG. FD is the way I have it. Okay, first degree. So there is a big change in how we view the world. You know, sometimes as esotericists, we're not really that. We're students of esotericism. We regard the first initiation as something passé. Oh, yeah, well, everyone has taken that. So many people have taken that. I'm not interested in that. And yet the Christ retakes the first initiation with every time he administers it as the Bodhisattva, which is very interesting. And if he can do it, then we can certainly hold in mind what this initiation gives. So the individual initiate who takes this initiation is aware of great changes in his attitude towards himself. He begins to fade off the center of his personal stage. He's no longer taking up so much space within the field of consciousness, as it were. He begins to love his fellow men. Circumstances look like opportunities through which we can express the higher energies. And we interpret life events not from the materialistic perspective, but from the spiritual perspective. So these are peculiarly the reactions which attend the first initiation. If that is the case, then we better, enlarge upon this literally by, make it quite big. Okay. A new orientation to life, it's like being reborn, and a new world of thought are registered by the initiate. I keep on thinking about, for me, I think, it's a fairy tale, of course, or fiction, but Scrooge, Scrooge on Christmas morning. Everything has changed. All perception has changed. Everything is seen in the light of positivity and the light of the soul, and the ancient curmudgeon, which was the personality, no longer holds sway. This will be equally true on a large scale where modern man, the world disciple, the world initiate now of the first degree, is concerned. Men will recognize the evidences in many lives of the emergence of the Christ consciousness, and the standard of living will be adjusted to the truth as it exists in the teaching of the Christ. And we're told that a number of seventh ray souls of the first degree will help to facilitate this economically. So let's just say big positive changes in the life of humanity are on their way and will manifest powerfully with the taking of the first initiation. So we can look for changes in humanity's attitude towards itself, changes in humanity's attitude towards each other, and the circumstances will be viewed differently by many within the human race, maybe not all, and life events will be interpreted spiritually. Let's just say there will be a spiritual interpretation of life events. Okay. Orientation to life, a new orientation to life, and a new world of thought are registered. And let's just say this by humanity as a whole as well. Okay. So large and beautiful developments are on their way. Well, this is going to be then the end of Raised and Initiation webinar commentary number 68. The day is 16 of February 2017, and our page numbers where I always get stuck and never seem to look at it ahead of time. Probably page 570 is the end. And we began with, what did we begin with? Okay, yes, right up here. Okay, 567 to 570. Right. Okay. And we will mark this so we know where we are and what we're doing when the time comes. Okay, so it's 567 to 570, and we'll be beginning Raised and Initiation Webinar Commentary number 69. We'll see what day this will occur, perhaps today, and page 570 will be our commencement. Well, you can see that really important developments are in the pipeline for humanity. They are fast approaching. It's all part of the divine plan. And a new heaven and a new earth are coming for humanity, and we want to be part of that process, helping to usher in these positive new developments, which will be such an improvement for everyone. Okay, friends, we will continue a little bit later. It's a marvelous, positive vision that DK has given us of how the change can occur. And even now we see people who are representative of such a change. We see their struggles in a world which is still largely conditioned by the outgoing Piscean energy and the outgoing sixth ray. And there is a battle between those who wish to hold on to those ancient forms and attitudes and those who want to bring in the new. It's that Uranus-Saturn battle in a way which Master Moria described as the Armageddon battle, a battle between Uranus and Saturn. Okay, we will continue and learn more as we go. Thank you for attending, and we'll see you a little later. Bye-bye.